How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Sin upon His shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers.
It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Before you have your Bible open to a very familiar passage of Scripture, I don't want to just go on and on belaboring the good time we had at the men's retreat, but I do have one final thing that I'd like to say about that. I did not realize that Dr. Thompson was the cornhole player that he was. This man is quite the cornhole player. He made it to the semifinals, he and his partner, the cornhole. And Brother Mike Melfelt, I did not realize this, had given him a nickname after watching his cornhole performances in time past, The Answer. He's the answer. He comes through. And I tell you, Dr. Thompson was just, he's just the man. I don't know anything else to say. I appreciate Dr. Thompson and Sister Mary Thompson. They're just fine people, and I'm so glad that God allowed our paths to cross on this side of glory. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to be in the presence of people that you know that love God and that have served God with their life. And that's my desire, and I believe that's your desire. That's one of the reasons that you're here today. You have a desire to serve God with your life, to please the Lord. But you know, sometimes that desire, As hungry as we can be and as well-meaning as we can be, sometimes The fire on the altar of our heart can burn low. You know, it just happens. And that's what I want to talk to you about. How do you stoke that fire? What happens when a person rekindles the fire and finds that first love again? What happens in a person's life? How can you seize that, and how can you recognize someone that, well, as we use the terminology, they're on fire for God? How can I get on fire for God? How can I stay on fire for God? Well, Luke 24 is about that. A little background leading up to verse number 13. The Lord Jesus has resurrected from the grave. Now, you want to talk about something that'll get you fire burning. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is alive. He's not dead, brethren. And I realize a lot of people are living like He's dead. And a lot of people are praying like He's dead. And a lot of people go through life like He's dead. But Jesus is alive. Amen. He's alive. And I'm so glad that He is. And He wants us to live like He's alive. And He wants us to get that message out there. He's alive, brethren. He's alive forevermore. Well, these disciples, they had began their journey back from Emmaus to Jerusalem. And this, our Jerusalem to Emmaus, in verse number 13, it says, as was read in your hearing, that two of them, well, we know that one of them was Cleopas, and we don't know the other. It could have been another male, could have even been Cleopas' wife. We're not certain. The Bible doesn't say. There's those who have taken educated guess. We'll not do that. We'll just leave that up to them. We know that they were two disciples. And the Bible says that they began to enter into a theological discussion. And from their discussion, we find some things that are missing from their life. And the Lord Jesus enters into their discussion to try to help them recapture the things that, well, had begun to fade. You see, they were disappointed. They were discouraged. Some things didn't turn out the way they thought they were going to. And they actually alluded to that in their conversation. They thought, you know, they told Jesus, as they thought that He was a stranger, they thought, you know, we had thought that it was going to be this way, but it turned out that way. Well, perhaps there's someone here this morning, and that's where you are in life. You know, you thought you'd be in a different place at this time and point in your life, but you're not. And yet I want to remind you that God knows where you are, and God knows how to get you where He desires for you to be, perhaps where even you desire to be. If your desire is in the Lord and the delight of the Lord, He will give you the desire of your heart. How can you get that fire burning? I mean a passion, brethren. I mean a passion to where it just runs over. It dominates your life, your conversation. Well, let's look at a few things. I want you to notice with me, first of all, as these individuals were walking and communicating with one another, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, joins their conversation. In verse number 14, it says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Of course, past tense. Verse number 15 says, it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus still does that, by the way. I'm glad that when people are a little downcast and they're walking and they're discouraged, but they still continuing to go through activity and go on, and they're just searching what happened. There's some things that happen that we can't quite wrap our minds around. And sometimes life does that to us, doesn't it? I mean, there's just some things that happen in life that we can't quite wrap our minds around. And that's what had happened to these men. And as they began to discuss it, the Lord Jesus anonymously, by His will, not theirs, by His will, He wanted to be a part of this, but He did not want them to know at first that He was who He was. And so the Bible says that He held back His identity to them. Now, what way He did that, I cannot tell you. I just know the Bible is always right. And I know that the Scripture says that's what happened. Verse 15 says, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes, verse 16, were holden that they should not know him. And so here's Jesus as a stranger, if you will, and he's entered into this conversation with these two disciples, and he begins to listen. And he said in verse number 17 unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk," now watch this, "and are sad?" You seem a little down. You seem a little discouraged. You seem a little disappointed. What are you talking about? Well, that provokes them to begin to explain to him some things. And as they explain to him, Jesus knew what was going on. Can I tell you, he always knows what's going on. Amen. He knew what they were talking about. He knew why they were sad. He knew why they were disappointed. He didn't ask them so he would know. He asked them so they could hear themselves rehearse it so they could know. He's actually saying, "I want you to listen to yourselves. Why are you sad?" You're going to find the answer in your own answer. Amen. And so as they began to talk, we see some things that happened. First of all, in verse number 19, I want you to notice with me, their faith was shaken. Now this can happen in your life. Their faith was shaken. The Bible says, "And he said unto them, what things?" They began to tell him when he asked this question. Verse 18, "One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet." Wait a minute. I find a problem here. They're speaking of Jesus in the past tense. Watch this. Verse number 19. They said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Oh, they're speaking like Jesus is gone. They're speaking like Jesus has closed up shop and gone out of business. So that's the reason a lot of people are sad today. They're living their lives as though God is dead and Jesus has vacated the throne and that heaven's shut down. Brethren, I got to tell you, heaven's running well. God's still alive. Jesus is still in control. And when we begin to have this mindset that God is a thing of yesterday, that Jesus and all of his work is just something that can be discussed in past tense, we too will become discouraged. We too will be sad. For if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. And so when we begin to look at this life is all there is. And by the way, when you shut down God and you shut off Christ and you shut out his word, this life is all that's left. And as glad as I am and as thankful as I am for this life that God has given me, I'm glad this is not all there is. Amen. I'm glad this is not all there is. Praise God for that. I'm telling you, brethren, there's coming a better day. There's coming a better day. Their faith was shaken because they were referring to Christ in the past tense. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. But you know, in verse number 20, the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they've crucified him. He's dead, he's done. That's what they're saying. Well, we hoped, you know. Now their hope's getting involved. See, their faith was shaken. Now their hope is shattered. We had hoped, we trusted, that's what that word means in verse number 21. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Oh my, not only was their faith shaken, but their hope was shattered. We had hoped, we had trusted that some things that he said was going to happen a certain way, and it didn't happen the way we thought it was going to happen. And so here we are. We really don't have anything to be excited about. You know, this world has a few things that people can hoorah about for a little while, but I got to tell you, that stuff wears off. Amen. You want something that'll last you from now to Jesus comes back? You hook up with the God of heaven, and you get in tune with the Son of God, and you get in this book right here, and you get to communing in the prayer closet, and the Holy Ghost of God shows up, and there'll be an ark that'll reach all the way from heaven's throne to your heart, amen? And there'll be a power ark that'll be arcing, and I'll tell you, it'll fire you up until Jesus comes, and then some. But when we lose sight of that, and I've done it, and you've done it, we're human. We err that way. When we lose sight of that, this is where we are. Just talking about, well, you know, we had hoped it had been this, and we thought this was going to happen, and he was this, he was that. This happened back in 1950, and back in the 1800s, and when this powerful evangelist was alive, and let me hook this up again. Amen. We're going to super glue this thing, Brother Jonathan. Where are you at? Amen. We're tough on your equipment, brother. Hey, sad, disappointed. Can I tell you the average American, and I'll even go as far as say the average Christian, I don't want to be average anything, do you? Some folks seem to be content with average. I just wasn't brought up that way, you know? Just average. I don't want that. I don't want to be just an average, nominal Christian. Hey, man, I want to be steadfast, unmovable. Always what? Average? No, abounding in the work of the Lord, brethren. But the average Christian, their life is like a roller coaster. Man, things are happening. Woo! Things are not happening. We don't want to live that way, do we? See, Jesus helps us to keep even keel. Gives us balance in our lives. Well, here's what had happened. The fire had gone out in their heart. Can you see it? The fire had gone out in their heart. Let me show you something back, if you would. Take verse number 20, chapter 24, verse number 6. He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. And then look at verse 8. And they remembered his words. Sometimes we just need to remember what God said, brethren. Now these men that were walking down this road, they were remembering some things, but they were remembering it like it was through, it was done. God's not done. God's not through. God's not through in your life. God's not through. How do you know, preacher? Because when God gets through, he's taking you home if you're saved. God's not going to leave you here with nothing to do. If God's through, he's taking you on. The very fact that you're sitting in this church service today is testament that God's not through. He's got something for you to do. Well, here they were, discouraged and sad. The Lord Jesus began to commune with them, and he gave them a mild rebuke even. He told them in verse number 20, Luke 24, look at it, verse number 25, he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe. See, there's the problem. Believe. You've heard the word. You know what he said. You saw what he done. But do you believe? You say, preacher, I believe. Do you really? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is alive? Do you really believe that? Do we really believe what God has said? Notice what he said here. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Do you believe it all? I mean all of it. That's going to make a difference. See, that's what'll set a fire in your heart when you believe it all. When you say, I believe what God said, even to the point that where I'm going to do what God says. See, that's real belief. Real belief brings action. Belief is an action word. Belief puts you in motion. And so he said, oh fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here they are walking down the road, and Jesus begins to have a Bible conference with them. I'd like to have been a part of that Bible conference. He began to open and reason with them from the scriptures, and he taught them things about himself. And my, how their hearts began to hunger after truth and hunger after this person again, this person of the Lord Jesus, that their feelings and their faith had waned somewhat, but now that fire begins to burn in their heart again. And maybe that's what some of us need. You know, I sometimes get to thinking about when I first got saved and how, I tell you right now, you're just excited, amen? Remember when you first got saved? You couldn't wait to tell people, say, well, preacher, I wasn't that way. Now, wait a minute, you sure? Amen. I'm talking about when you got saved, you couldn't wait to tell people. Now, some people just, you know, but some people were interested. You got saved? Yeah, what? Saved? Tell me more. Some people, you know, go away. But you just couldn't wait to tell. You share that fire. Read the Bible. For the very first time, you read 1 John. Some of you've read it 1,000 times, but remember the first time? Amen. The first time you read 1 John. The first time you read the book of the Revelation. The first time you read St. John. The first time you read about his miracles as he walked through the cities and he caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear and the lame to walk. The first time you said, wow, wow, that's my Savior. That's my Savior. I'm into something big here. Amen. This is good stuff. Remember the first time. But over time, if we're not careful, oh my, you read it and you hear it. Begins to wane and the fire begins to flicker. Jesus came in. He said, hey, I want to help you get that back. I want to give you four things. Four things that'll help you. Number one, the presence of Jesus. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you'll notice, Jesus entered this conversation with him. And if you look down in verse number 32 of chapter 24, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures? You want the real kind of heartburn? Amen? The kind that you don't want to take medicine for? It's a medicine, all right. It's like a merry heart medicine. It does your heart good to burn like this. It does. Did not our heart burn? Why? Because he had joined himself with them. But wait a minute. Jesus engage them. Don't you miss this. And he said, I want to help you. And they began to talk. But watch something very carefully. This will happen to every person in here. It probably has already happened. Maybe even as soon as this week. Don't miss this now. Watch it. The Bible says, if you'll notice in verse number 28, and while they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further. In other words, they were kind of talking and they got close to home where they were going and they began to kind of turn off toward home and the Lord Jesus just walked on. He was just going to walk on. And he would have had they let him. Jesus is a gentleman. He's waiting for invitation. He's waiting for us to make him an integral part of our lives and our desires. In life, right? He was going to go on, brethren. Notice it again. When they got, in verse number 28, when they got to that village where they went, he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. They said, we want you to stay. We want some more of this. We want some more. We want some Sunday night. We want some Sunday school. We want some Wednesday night. Bring on the revival meetings, amen. Bring on the Bible studies. I can't get enough of this Jesus, amen. Bring it on. Bring it on. We'll clear our schedules. We'll clear what we've got going on. Give me some more of this. It's good for me. I need this. My fire in my heart is flickering. I need a poker. I need to stoke that fire some to get that fire burning in my heart again. Amen. You say, well, that can happen to anybody. No, wait a minute now. Did you read carefully? He would, verse 28, he would have just gone on further. He'd have found someone else had a conversation who said, hey, stay with me. If you don't want him to stay, he's a gentleman. And they said, hey, would you stay? He said, I will. Don't miss this now. So they went in the home, and the scripture says, in verse number 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them. He was a guest in their home. Jesus, is he a guest in your home? You say, well, I guess he is. Have you invited him to be? He wasn't going to just stay there. They constrained him. They asked him, hey, we want to hear more of this. We want to know more about this. We want to hear more about Jesus. You are opening things to us. We want to know Jesus in a greater capacity. I think that's what's hurt us some, brethren, is we just don't have that desire that maybe those in a generation before us had. God help us. God help me. God help us. Notice what happened here. He went from being the guest to the host. Now this is when it really gets good. This is when it really gets good. Okay? So you invite Jesus into your home, and instead of you serving him, he will serve you. That's when it really gets good. See, on the outside, people see it and they say, well, you know, we're serving him. And that's good, and we should. But when we really mean business and we constrain him and say, hey, stay, and there's sincerity, watch what happens. The guest becomes the host. See if that doesn't happen here in the scripture. Look at it now. Verse number 30, it says, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. He's in their house with their food. But they're not serving him. He's serving them. That's when it really gets good, brethren. When you can sit around the table and Christ will gird himself. He'll wash you. He'll fellowship with you. And he'll let you know that you are his own. Oh, it's wonderful. He feeds you. He feeds you. He feeds me. That gets the heart burning. That gets the heart on fire. That God would do that for me. That God would meet my need. That God would be my ever provision to meet my need. Well, number one, the presence of Jesus. You see how it worked there? Number two, the purpose of Jesus. You want to get your heart burning? You want to get that heart burning, that fire going? Watch what happens here. The Bible says that when Jesus did this, in verse number 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him. But this, just at that moment, the scripture says he vanished from their sight. You got the picture in your mind now? He's sitting with them, and he's feeding them, and he's meeting their needs, and then he vanishes. Sometimes God knows just exactly what we need to whet our appetite a little bit to get us hungering for more. You think it worked with them? Look what it says in verse number 32. And they said one to another, we're still sad and disappointed, and today has been a waste. That's not what it says. See, that's the way a lot of people, at the end of the day, that's kind of their dialogue. Well, we're still sad, and not much changed, and the day hasn't brought forth much to talk about. But when they put themselves in a position for Jesus to minister to them, and he began to minister to them, his presence was known among them in a special way. It whet their appetites to the point, the verse number 32 says, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Wow. They said, this is great. Amen. I felt something right there. Amen. Did you feel that? You say, oh, preacher, now let's don't get talking about feelings. I wouldn't give you a nickel for a religion you couldn't feel some. Amen. Now I'm for faith, and it's all built on the premise of faith. But I know that I know God wants you to feel something. Some joy in your heart. That's right. Some joy in your heart. Some peace. God wants you to be excited about what Jesus has done, the purpose of the Lord. You think they got involved in the purpose? When they got in the Word, when they got into the presence of Jesus and they began to learn about Jesus, the very first thing they become concerned about was not their family, and I'm all for family. I'm all for it. You know that. And you are. It wasn't their church, and I'm all for church, and you are. It wasn't their job. It wasn't their things. It wasn't their money. What was it? They wanted to fulfill the purpose of Jesus in their life. So much so, watch what they did. Verse number 33 says this, that they rose up the same hour, now, the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Amen. You see? They walked 7 miles from Jerusalem, sad. Then Jesus joined them. They perked up a little bit. And then they go into the house, and Jesus begins to expound some things to them. 7 miles now by foot. The day was far spent. Read the scripture. And then after Jesus vanished, they said, we got to tell somebody. Amen. I just got to tell somebody. They walked 7 miles back. 7 miles by foot. Went back. That's what the Bible says. It says, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, and they said, guess what? The Lord's alive. We left here all despondent and discouraged and depressed and sad, but thank God he's alive. Amen. Well, I tell you, church get excited like that, folks. We couldn't seat people in here. I read the story, true story, old country church, and I like country churches, don't you? Amen. Country church in a little country town. No fire department, no fire hydrants. And one night the church caught on fire. True story, I think it was in Alabama. And the church caught on fire. And they got what they call it, you know, the bucket line. You know what that is? You get the person closest to the water faucet, and then you line people up, and you pass the bucket, and you throw it on the fire. Back goes the bucket, water, throw it on the fire. Well, one of the prominent church members was in the line, and he was so busy working, trying to pass the bucket of water, that he looked up one time when he went to get that bucket of water, and there was a town atheist that he was getting the water from. And he said, well, I've never seen you at church before. And he said, I've never seen the church on fire before. Well, I tell you, you want to draw people, even the town atheist. You let the church get on fire. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. You let some people get excited. You know why? Last night in college stadiums around this nation, they were 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people filling them up. You know why? Excitement. Touchdown! Woo! First down! Excitement. Filling up those stadiums. You let the church get excited. You let the church of God get on fire for Christ. Amen. Hey, brethren, we ought not be dead because our God's not dead. Amen. We ought to be a people with some life, some vibrancy. We've got a story to tell. It's not about a roster. It's not about a 53-man roster. It's not about a touchdown, though I'm not opposed to those things. It's about eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And you have been set free. And you have been set free. And you have been set free. And everyone that will come to Christ in faith, praise God, can be set free. What a message. What a message. People without hope can have hope. People in despair can rejoice that Christ will forgive them of their sin. You say, well, preacher, I know those whose past is stained. Their lives are tainted. They have no hope. Hey, I've got something for them. His name is Jesus, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Shout out, preacher. I don't like all that shouting and loud noise. You ever get in the right, listen, you get in the right way, you'll be excited. Excited. about what Christ has done for you? Are you excited about what Jesus has done for you? Yeah. Nobody gonna come see you burn. Nobody gonna come see that burn. Hey, is your God alive? Preacher said he was. Nobody gonna come see that burn. Is your Sunday school class excited to learn the Bible? I think so. Nobody gonna come hear that. Listen to me, brethren. Listen to me. You say, oh, preacher, if we get excited, we'll just be mimicking the world. I got to tell you something. There's been people shouting for Jesus way before they built the big house. For those of you who don't know, that's where Michigan plays football. See, you didn't think you was going to learn anything at church today, but you just did. I'm talking about having some fire, some zeal. Seems like nowadays we can get it about anything and everything but the right thing. God be our helper. Let me give you these other two and we'll be through. Number one, the presence. Number two, the purpose. I tell you, there's been times in my life, yours too, you've been like old Jeremiah. You don't have to turn there, but over there in chapter 20, Jeremiah was preaching, Brother Richard, and God said, hey, you keep preaching. He said, I don't know, Lord. I'm paraphrasing now. I don't know. These people don't act like they like it. I didn't ask you if they liked it. Preach it. You preach it. And Jeremiah said, well, all right. And he preached it. They still didn't like it. He said, I think I'm just going to quit preaching it. I'm going to quit telling it. He said, so I just made a decision. I'm going to quit. I'm going to shut up that word in my heart. He said, but you know what? He said, I tried to do that. It was like a fire in my bones. He said, I couldn't stay. I couldn't forbear. I just had to say it. Amen. It just came out. It's like those disciples in Acts 4 when they called them in. Y'all to read it sometime. I was reading it again this morning. Oh, it's wonderful. They called those disciples in. They threatened them. They said, don't you be talking about that Jesus. Don't you be talking about him. And they threatened them. And we'll beat you. We'll beat you. We'll throw you into prison. Don't you tell about Jesus. Don't you mention that name. Don't you mention that doctrine. Oh, Peter and John spoke up and said, whether it be right, we cannot say. You judge. But we're going to obey God and not man. They said, we can't help it. We can't help but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Amen. Amen. We're so full of them. We're so full of him, it just comes out. Are you that full of him? It just comes out. You know what will come out of you? What you're full of. That's what's coming out. What's coming out of you? That's what you're full of. Work. Talk about work, you're full of it. Sports, you're full of it. Money. Jesus. See, whatever we get full of is going to have to make its way out. There can only so much come in. Amen? Am I right? You take a glass and you put water in, it'll all start going in until you're full of it. Then it's going to start coming out. You take a soul and you start putting God and the Word of God and goodness and Jesus, you start putting the plan of salvation and the Word of God in, and before long it's going to start coming out. It just is, brethren. Purpose. Purpose. Number three, power. Well, when they went back and they told these disciples, Jesus appeared to them again. I want you to notice in verse number 48, he said, you're witnesses of these things. You're witnesses. And brethren, we are. You start telling people you're saved, people's going to know you as a witness. They want to know what you've seen. What have you seen? A God that's not doing a whole lot? A God that's gone out of the miracle working business? A God that's quit saving people, that's give up on America, that's give up on sinners? I pray to God that when people view my life, that that's not what they see. I'm a witness. And if you're saved, you are too. I hear all the time, and I've been guilty of saying, well, we ought to be witnesses. No, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. The question is, what are we witnesses of? What are we witnesses to? Let it be our prayer as a people of God that make up Fellowship Baptist Church. God, help me to be a witness to you that you are alive and that you still love old sinners. And you'll still receive them and you'll still save them. And that, God, you still change lives. You still mend broken homes. Amen. You still heal diseases. God, that you still can do the impossible. Help me to be that witness. I don't want to be that witness that, well, you know, he used to could do that, but God can't do that anymore. That's not our witness, I hope. Witnesses. He said in verse number 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. If we're going to be burning in our hearts, brethren, now listen to me. The presence of Jesus, the purpose of Jesus. Here's the power. See, we're going to have power if we're going to be the kind of witness that God wants us to be. I want to ask you a question. I want you to be honest with yourself, as I had to be honest with myself the last couple of weeks as I was looking over these scriptures. Do you need God's power? Don't answer that. Just, you know, do you need God's power? I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are no longer seeking power. And I think God gave me the answer. Why? Because it takes power to do God's work. Many people today who profess to be saved, and I'm not saying they're in this building, I don't know your heart, but much of what we know as Christendom today is really not interested in doing God's work. Brother David preached yesterday at our men's retreat about Sinatra. That's not what he preached on. He just mentioned it. I'm going to do it my way. It's foolish, foolish, foolish. See, if you're intent on doing it your way, and I'm intent on doing it my way, we don't need God's power for that. That's why a lot of people don't need to seek God's power, because they have made up their mind, I am not going to do it God's way. I'm not going to tithe God's way. I'm not going to go to Sunday school God's way. I'm not going to go to Sunday morning church God's way. I'm not going to serve God's way. I'm not going to sing God's way. I'm not going to drive a bus God's way. I'm not going to minister to youth God's way. I'm just not going to do it God's way. Well, then you won't need God's power. And that's why some are very content without God's power. But now, for those of you here, and I believe there's many, that say, I want to do it God's way. Brethren, we're going to need God's power to do it God's way. We're going to need God's power. We're talking about a supernatural. We're talking about the kingdom of God. This is a supernatural work. And if we're going to do it God's way, we're going to need God's power. He said, so you want your heart burning? You get in the presence of Jesus and you get involved in the purpose of Jesus, and then Jesus will begin to tell you how to get his power. Did you notice that? They were walking alone, sad. Then all of a sudden they got involved and went back and started telling people back in Jerusalem. And before long, they're listening to Jesus. And what's Jesus telling them here in verse number 48? He said, you're witnesses. And he said, I tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there, tarry, and you're going to be endued with some power. Amen. That's right. Some power from God. And then the closer is the clincher. This is what everyone tries to leapfrog to. You get a burning heart, right? You're going to have to get in the presence of Jesus. Your heart will begin to burn. Then you got to get involved in the purpose. You got to get involved in being a witness. You start getting behind some of these closed doors and you see some of the lifestyles and some of the ways that people are living. Make your heart burn, won't it? Won't it, brethren? Make your heart burn. The reason a lot of folks, their heart's not burning is because, well, they just kind of caught up in their comfort zone of how things are going in their life. I want to personally assure you this morning, there's addicts all over driving distance of we who sit in this building this morning. who are crying. I'm not trying to work on your emotions. I'm telling you the truth as it is. In fact, brethren, there are addicts with needle marks in their arms, under their tongues. You listen to me. Every part of their body that you could imagine. And they're crying because they have given up on life. And they think that there's nothing or no one can help them. And we have the answer. So how do you know, preacher? Because there's some sitting in this building this morning. And your preacher was one of them. Well, I would never say that. Well, that's probably why God's got me up here, not you. Because somebody needs to let people know the God that we serve can save anybody. Amen. He can rescue anybody. He can take care of. Listen, whether you've never dropped a hit of acid, smoked a joint, maybe a cigarette hasn't even touched your lips, you're so goody two shoes that you think you deserve heaven. God can save you too. God can save the religious and the wild. God can save. Amen. And so don't you get to the place to where you think that you can do, and God help me not to get to the place we're going to do these things without God's power. Not God's way, we're not. It's not going to be done God's way without God's power. Now I want to close with this. Look, if you would, in verse number 52. Final thing. All right? Final thing. Praise. Praise. The presence of Jesus. Just walk with Him. Invite Him in. You go home today. Maybe don't even wait till you get home. Come down to this altar here in just a moment and say, God, I want You to walk with me. And I want You to abide with me. I want to know something about Your presence, Lord. Please, Lord. I just want to sense Your presence. I want to fellowship with You. I want to fall deeper in love with You, Lord. I want my heart burning again. Would you stir up that gift of God in me? Like Paul told Timothy, Lord, would You do that today? Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Many of you have seen that fire in that fireplace go down. Well, you take that poker and you stir around on it a little bit. Flames will come up again. Am I right? And then all of a sudden you begin to chunk a few things on there. Boy, you got you a nice fire again. You have. And that's all some need. Just a little stirring around, a little poking around. Throw a few things on the fire and you'll have you a fire going. It'll warm some other people. It'll warm some people. The presence. Then the purpose. Begin to tell people. Begin. The power. Just wait before the Lord now. And that what He told him in verse 49? Now you go and you wait there now. That word endued means clothed. I'm going to give you some power. Because you're willing to do My work. Not willing to do My work? You won't need My power. Because nobody needs the power just to go through the motions. And then finally, praise. Verse 52 says, and they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And I like the way Luke ends it. Amen. I'd kind of like for Luke to be a part of our church. Amen, Luke said. Like that. Praising God. Some people praise God and tears come down their face. They never say a word. They just praise God. Some people just sit there and their hearts just rejoicing. And boy, after a while, I mean, it's like that living water in you. It'll spring up. Amen. It'll spring up. And when it does, something will spring out. Some people jump to their feet and shout amen. I've seen ladies back home grab out their handkerchief and just wave her handkerchief. Praising God. The fire gets in your heart. The fire gets to burning. You'll be number one. Look at verse number 53. Continually in the temple. Won't have to be no stunt shows to get you to church. I'm not opposed to them. Amen. I still like to see that guy jump those buses, that motorcycle. I had to leave before that happened that year. I still like to see that. But you won't have to do a stunt show or have, trick monkey, anything. Preacher come in on a zip line to get them to the church when When you get the fire of Jesus in your heart and you want to know more about Him, the only thing you'll need is the date and time. You'll be continually in the temple, and you won't just be there. You'll be praising and blessing God. Well, here's four things. The presence. That's where it all begins, brethren. Really is. Let's all stand. Begins with the presence. Are you there? You're a little sad, a little disappointed this morning as you came to church. Maybe you're at a place in your life. It's not just this morning. This morning is just, well, a part of what's been going on for a while. I don't know. You're just there. Can I tell you, it happens now. It happens. It happens. We all just need God to do a little something to come up alongside of us and say, now, Jesus, would you tarry with me? Would you stay with me? I need your help. I'm going to need you, Lord. Would you help me? Would you tell me some more? Would you teach me some more? I'm open. I'm open, Lord. Tell me some more. I received that mild rebuke that you gave me back there. I didn't get all mad and say, well, you just walk on, but I told you to stay on now. Tell me some more. It might hurt me a little, but I need some help. Sometimes to help me, I got to get hurt. But Lord, would you help me? I want that fire in my heart. Amen. The presence. Then the purpose. I just want to tell other people. Things might not be the best in my life, but I tell you, there's a lot of people that are a lot worse off than me. I know Jesus and they don't, and I want to try to tell them. I want to get involved in the purpose of God. And then there's the power. I want to get with God and get His power because I'm going to need power if I'm going to do it God's way. And I want to do it God's way now. And then the praise. And let's bow our heads together.